Step number two in this process of leadership is called diagnosis. And this is all about every leader taking a pragmatic approach to look at two aspects of a team. Because we know with teams, we rarely have the opportunity to select and pre-select who we would like to be in the team. Usually the team's already set up and the leader is new to the team. Sometimes you inherit a pre-existing team, and sometimes you don't get the ideal people coming to your team. It's very much a compromise. So we have to look at the context. Great leaders look at the context. They look at the outcomes and the results that the team needs to achieve, the context of the team, i.e. the history of the team, and also the blend of the individuals within that team, of how it's balanced up. And this is what we're going to do in diagnosis. We're going to use two templates to help you review what the current context is of that team, its strengths and its weaknesses. The first one is Belbin, Meredith Belbin. She spent 9 years studying behaviours of highly performing teams, looking at the different core personality traits and trying to identify what blend of roles within a team made highly successful teams. Now, when we talk about behaviour, we're talking about a tendency to behave, contribute and interrelate with others in a particular way. And Belbin, in looking at team dynamics, identified that there was 9 key roles within a team. I'm not going to go through all 9, but what I'm going to do is to summarise that some players in a team are action orientated. These people are the doers. They shape the chaos into a clear way forward. You've got implementers who love to plan, and hopefully you've got some people who love to see things through to the end, to complete things. The second category are people orientated roles. These are the people who connect and bring together people. They are team workers. They are resource investigators. They may not have the resources, but they can network and find somebody who can. And we've also got people who are great coordinators who can bring people together in a systematic way to produce an end result. And the third key category under Belbin is one of analytical roles. These are the intellectual heavyweights that enable a logical and rational analysis of the best way forward. These people are evaluators. And in this category, you might have your technical experts as well. Now, in establishing a team, as a great leader, to understand the individual behaviours and the way that individuals prefer to interrelate with other people is an extremely powerful tool. And in this module of leadership, I would encourage any leader to take the time to find out more about Belbin and to use it within a team meeting context with your team so individuals within the team can understand how they contribute, the team can understand how it's balanced, and the team can understand its key strengths and weaknesses. So this is going to help you as a leader to bring everybody together. The second thing to look at is not only the individuals in the blend, but also the stage that the team is in its level of development. Now, Tuckman gave us 4 key stages of team development. It gives a nice structured way of diagnosing where a team is. The 4 stages are forming, storming, norming, and performing. And as I'm describing these 4 stages, you might take the time to think about your own team and your own environment and to try and think where your current team is. So the forming stage is very much a testing phase. It's when the team first comes together. It's almost like the honeymoon stage where everybody is very polite and there's a high degree of commitment to the team, although the competency levels in the team might be quite low. They're having to find what's expected of them, for example. There might be quite a lot of anxiety as people are trying to find out how they fit into the team. And in this testing phase, this forming stage, there's a high degree of reliance on the leader to be very explicit and in a way to direct and tell the team specifically what is expected of them and how they are expected to undertake and deliver the results. So that's phase number one of forming. Once that is established, then the team can go into a second phase. And this is known as storming, where people are vying to find out where their power sits within the team. There's quite a lot of conflict and subgroups can start developing. This is the stage of conflict and it can be quite noisy and people can feel very stuck and probably quite isolated in this stage of storming. Here, the role of the leader is very much, again, to provide direction, shape, and to facilitate the team as quickly as possible out of storming and into the next phase of norming. Norming is very much the settling down. People have a clearer idea of their roles and responsibilities. They're developing the skills so they can see the results coming through. They can see that they're making a difference. Policies and procedures are being more established and people know what's expected of them. Again, in norming, in this settling down stage, there's more open dialogue, better listening and better exchanges of information. In fact, in this third stage of getting organised, it's very much a calming down stage, a getting on with things stage. And finally, stage number four, known as performing. The team are delivering results. They can manage their own team. There's a degree of excitement because at this stage, the team are really performing well and the leader can effectively stand back a little bit because less control is needed because the team are very clear how they're working together and how they fit into the team and how they contribute. There's more of a sharing of the leadership. And a really good example for me when a team is in performing, a great test is when that team meeting will continue to happen in a productive way, even though the leader or the manager is not there.